Welcome to the Barefoot Foot Trap Radio Show. Today is Saturday, July 6, 2013, and we are broadcasting live on the Freedomizer Radio Network. In this episode, we'll discuss the unfortunate death of 19 firefighters, review the survival steel fire starter, and we get to speak to a special guest, Leslie Blackmore from Turtle Feather True Nature. This is your host, AD Venture, and I'm joined by
the Wolf Fan.
All right, thanks for joining us today. We have a great show for our listening audience. The weather's been great in our portion of Ontario this week. Unfortunately, there are several other portions of Canada that are suffering greatly due to the heat currently. We have Quebec, which is unfortunately experiencing some wildfires in the northwestern area. And we also have those wildfires still ongoing in the Yukon and the British Columbia area.
Wow. That's very unfortunate to hear that, you know, people get displaced from their home, get pushed away from their home. You know, wildfires are very, very difficult to control from a firefighting point of view, I've been told, although I certainly don't have a lot of information about firefighting technique. I know that, when you see them on TV, it's like you see the water bomber dump thousands and thousands of liters of water in just a couple seconds, and it doesn't seem to do a whole heck of a lot.
That's true. And that moves perfectly into our first segment here.
In the news.
Unfortunately, this week in the news, we have to report that an Arizona wildfire has decimated an elite firefighting unit known as a hotshot unit and has left 19 of their 20 members dead. I'm just going to post the links here on the Freedomizer Radio chat. And why don't you go ahead and tell a little more about the situation to our listening audience, Wolf?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm just going to take me a second here. I'm having a bit of a lag time on my end. It'll just take me a second here. So the news reports we have 19 firefighters that have been killed in Arizona. So basically what happened is we had, you know, one of our highest of high-end firefighting crews, and they were out in a forest doing a forest fire. And unfortunately, the fire had overcome them. I mean, if you can imagine what it must be like to be in a forest fire is incredible. Basically, the Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office in Phoenix said that this fire team basically died from burns and carbon monoxide poisoning, oxygen deprivation, or a combination of factors. You know, the sort of things that you would expect if you were in the woods, if you were in a forest fire, and, you know, everything around you is on fire. I mean, it's an incredible way to feel the awe and glory of nature at its finest. I mean, surrounded by trees that are obviously almost every tree are taller than humans, right? And when they catch fire, boy, oh boy, what a horrible and scary, scary thing. So the firefighters were deployed going to be a manageable fire, which was they thought was caused by a lightning strike about 97 kilometers outside of Phoenix. But violent winds turned the fire, and basically it trapped them, right? I mean, they get surrounded by fire. And unfortunately, I mean, these were young, wonderful, young, great firemen. And unfortunately, their lives are lost. Now, the tragic part about this is we have not, in the United States, seen that many firefighters killed in one section since the 9/11 disaster. That was the last time we saw that. So it's a very, very unfortunate thing. And the fire's not out. I mean, that's the other thing. It's not like they managed to get the fire out while they died. They said there's over 600 guys still working on the blaze, and it's only 45% out. So you're looking at fire that's destroyed hundreds of homes and destroyed thousands of hectares of land. I mean, the damage and the is just incredible, that this sort of things too. You know, So, yeah, it's a real shame when you have a massive loss of life like that all at once. I mean, it's a tragedy to lose one life, but to lose 19, I mean, you know, the goal, and I think we've talked about this before, the goal of everyone who goes to work is to do your job and to come home, whether that be working as a law enforcement officer, search and rescue, firefighting, military. Our goal every day is to, you know, is to bid your loved ones farewell in the morning, even if you work in an office, and to do your job and then come home. And it's an unthinkable tragedy, and many of the families get so little closure. You know, they always have that gut feeling, even though they've been to the funeral. It's part of our human condition that it's like one day they'll be like, oh, hey, I made it, and I made it home. And that, you know, our minds play tricks on us and give us this weird senses of hope. And it's very, very hard on family members, especially when the families have young children, to go through something like this. And the volume of people that were killed is a real, real shame.
It's quite true. It is quite heartbreaking to consider the fact that many of the families involved, the spouses of the firefighters, either were pregnant or had a lot of young children. And unfortunately, a lot of these kids will not be able to grow up with a father because of this situation. And going further into the details of this case, this actually happened near Yarnell, Arizona. And what occurred was apparently the unpredictable winds changed and surrounded the firefighters. And according to their training, what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to utilize fire retardant tarp. They're supposed to dig a little trench and then put themselves in there covered with this tarp. And in theory, the fire is supposed to just roll over them and pass, and they should be able to survive. But in this particular occasion, apparently the fire was just so strong that it just didn't stand a chance. And unfortunately, it's very horrific to even consider the manner that these brave firefighters died. But it is something to consider so that we can try to prevent this sort of situation from occurring in the future. They're definitely looking into trying to set up more regular fire bombing, or I should say water bombing runs with modified planes. The military has actually just authorized the use of four individual C-130 planes to assist with this particular forest fire, which is now thousands of acres in size. And hopefully that will assist in being able to just terminate this fire and to save a lot more lives.
For sure. And, you know, the thing is with the forest fires, it can happen to anyone at any time for various reasons. It can be anything from a lightning strike, which can certainly set off a fire in dry weather, to, you know, an unattended campfire that you think you put out. And for whatever reason, it seems to grow to life, and it comes alive and sets the forest fire on fire. Now, of course, it's very rare that anybody, you know, that you see reports of forest fires at a campsite, no matter how remote. But I suppose it's certainly not without its realm of possibilities. So we always have to look at ourselves and our equipment and prepare for what an odd and unusual thing is a forest fire while you're in the forest. The upside is 90% of our camping trips that people go on to, we camp by water, right? That's a huge benefit for us. If there was a forest fire, the best thing to do would be to try to get into that water if it was safe to do so. Maybe not a massive raging torrent like the Niagara River, but certainly if you could get into a nice calm lake, it might be a beneficial thing to do. If you have buckets available, you could make sure that your equipment and yourself are doused with water, if at all possible, right? You want to make sure that, you know, if you see a forest fire coming and you have the opportunity to pack up, go ahead and do so and try to get yourself into a safe place. Don't try to wait it out. Although it would be easy to think, oh, you know, this is a Google Plectillion acre wilderness property that I'm on, and I'm not in any danger, you know, or I would see the fire coming. You never know. Obviously, here's a perfect example of, you know, fire managed to creep up on these gentlemen. I mean, no matter how skilled we are, we're most of us that go camping are not firefighters, right? Obviously, there are some. But so it's always important to put that in your repertoire of emergency management. What do you think, Aideen?
Absolutely, and it is something to keep in mind when you are going out into the wilderness, and that's why the various departments and ministries of natural resources have hotlines available so that you can call in and just check the conditions in the areas that you'll be in to ensure that the risk is acceptable when it comes to being out there, because unfortunately these storms can in fact they can start without any notice and they can grow quite quickly. So it's good to know when the risk is high so that you can avoid that potential problem that might occur.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, you know, and it could be something as innocent as a pre-existing campsite. And, you know, part of leave no trace at the state, if there's a campsite, don't create a new one. So you start using a campsite, you don't look up. And you have a really nice big raging fire because it's just a great time of year and conditions are right, and you don't look over your head, and the campfire gets larger and larger and larger, and the massive heat from the campfire, because 90% of campfire heat goes up, sets the tops of the trees on fire. You know, that's a very, very serious thing that can happen and something that can get out of control very, very quickly. And that's the kind of thing that can happen now. You go to bed and then you wake up and then, you know, things are on fire. The hope would be that, of course, you wouldn't sleep through it, that you'd be awake or awakened by, you know, the noise and the heat and such.
Another issue would be the fact that in certain areas where there's a lot of extensive root systems, if you were to try to dig into the ground and start a fire there, and then you put it out thinking, okay, this is out, it could actually be touching that root system, which can go underground for hundreds of feet, not seen, and then appear somewhere else and start an even larger fire. And that I've seen, and it's quite amazing to consider the fact that this can actually occur underground where you would not assume that it could happen, and it could spread and just become a torrent of fire. And it's something to be very mindful of, especially when it comes to leave no trace and just being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, I was once I worked for an Easter Seals camp one summer, and we were paddling out, doing just general campsite checks, making sure that the environment we were taking our campers to would be appropriate. And there were several islands that the islands were burnt up. And, you know, we ask around and we're like, you know, what happened? And they said root fire on this island. So campers have dug a hole, a pit, got a root fire going. The root fire went down underneath the lake and popped up in the tree in the other island. And we had several lakes. I think it was Crotch Lake or something like that. Several of the islands were just desolate wastelands as a result of this, just because of a root fire on one island, and that island is fine. So it's something, fire is a beautiful and can be a very difficult thing to start. But once it gets out of control, you know, look out. Somebody I know once said, you know, guy falls asleep in his house with a cigarette and the whole house goes up. But you try to start that fire, that's a lot more challenging.
That's very true. And speaking of fire, that actually works perfectly to go into our next segment.
Tips and tricks.
All right, this week in our tips and tricks segment, we'll be discussing the Survival Steel Fire Starter. Now I'm just going to quickly put the link of our video available on YouTube on the Freedomizer Radio chat, and Wolf can tell you a little more about it.
Yeah. So this is another video. We do all sorts of different fire starting videos. And I'll call this information up. And yeah, so it was a really fun video to make. You know, anytime that we use any kind of fire starting tools that are not match related. For me, starting a fire with a match, although matches are a great tool, they're not always as exciting as some of the other methods that are out there. So the survival steel is basically a kind of, it's like an as seen on TV product. And we had the opportunity, both AD Venture and a couple of our instructors went up to the 2013 Outdoor Adventure Show. And we met this guy, really nice guy, and he showed us sort of how this fire steel worked. So basically, it's a ferrocium rod, but I believe this one is made out of some kind of... I'm sorry?
This particular rod is made of cerium, which is a little bit different from ferrocium.
Yes, yeah. And so, I mean... they do the same job, basically, but they're, yeah, it's a little bit different quality metal. And all you sort of do is you take a knife, you take the back of your knife, and you strike it, and it starts fire. It was, I think these ones, they have a little bit higher burn ratio. These ones burn at about 3,000 Celsius. The other ones burn at about 2,800, 2,500 Celsius. So it's not a whole lot of difference, but, you know, in a survival situation, could make all the difference in the world. I think they retail for about $15 to $20 a rod. They're a little bit smaller than the ferrocium type rods, the ferro rods. And it's just all in all, it was a really interesting time to see this gentleman to use it. So one of the things that he did in his video was he used his fire striker with the blade itself. So I said, you know, won't that ruin the blade? And he said, you can't, if you choose to use a knife blade, it's a good idea to have a dedicated knife or use the striker that comes with the device or, you know, any number of things. So, probably you don't want to put 3,000 degrees Celsius of heat onto your knife blade because it could potentially change the temper. Not something that you want to, not something that you want to get involved with. But yeah, it's an interesting product, a good product. Like a lot of the other things that we talked about, like the magnesium striker, which was the Coglins one with the block on it, we talked about that AD Venture did a couple weeks ago. It's pretty. Yeah, it was a good guy to talk to, and certainly a product that should be on in everybody's, if not your everyday carry kit, at least your emergency kit.
Absolutely. And I do have to mention a couple of things. Just as the video shows, you've got the gentleman there mentioning that it's okay to use a blade as long as it's a dedicated one. But I do agree with you, Wolf, that it's just not wise to use a blade itself if you actually intended to be used for what it was made for, which is, in fact, a cutting implement. Now, I definitely recommend this, which is a great little tip for everyone who's listening here on Freedomize Radio, is a little file works actually much better than any sort of blade just because of the fact that you've got the striations there in the file. It's a nice, thick, strong material, and you can get a very massive spark out of that. So you can actually get a little file, store it with your knife. It doesn't take up much space at all, and you can utilize that when it comes to a striker for this particular rod or any rod, for example. I've noticed it actually works universally across the board, whether it be cerium, ferricium, or any other sort of material made for this sort of non-natural fire-starting method. And I've got to say that I was quite impressed with this material. I actually first experienced it back in 2004 when I went to the Outdoor Adventure Show and purchased a couple there, had a deal, where you get two for $20. So I picked them up, and again, one was stored with me on my everyday carry, which is something that we've previously discussed on other episodes. But another one was actually put into my survival kit, which was always available, whether it be in my vehicle or in my bug-out bag, as some might call it. And it's just a very useful tool to have available. And just as the product mentioned, it essentially works for about 15,000 strikes, and you can literally get thousands of fires from it. So it's extremely useful. And even when it's worn down, and the ones that I currently have, which I haven't changed yet, are fairly worn down. And they still produce enough of a spark that if you've got enough tinder, you can definitely get a fire going.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know you talked a bit about, you know, do-it-yourself striker units that you could put on these things. One of the things that I have done in the past, if you're kind of crafty, I took a hacksaw blade that I busted, you know, just through everyday use. I took the blade and I fashioned it with a Dremel So I rounded it so it wasn't, you know, all jagged and broken. And you will get a great strike out of these out of a discarded hacksaw blade, because they're high carbon steel. And who cares if you wreck it, really? If you burn through it, it doesn't really matter. They usually, one end of the blade will have a hole on it, each end, right, where you can attach it to the saw itself, to a hacksaw. So then you just put your cord through that, and you can attach it. But I have one of these rods. It's funny that you got your first rod there. That's where I got my first one as well, and I guess probably around the same time. And now I have incorporated a ferrocium rod into my, not as good quality as the fire steel, but into my everyday carry kit. It's just the best thing I would ever want to be is without fire.
That's very true. And I have to say that when you first told me about your little hacksaw blade hack, if you want to call it that, I was quite impressed because it works extremely well. It's practically free. I mean, you can find hacksaws thrown out, these little blades thrown out because they've been broken. But all you really need essentially is about an inch, couple of inches worth of length, and you can actually get that sharpened up a little bit further, and the sparks that you can get off this is just incredible. And one thing I do want to mention, though, is with this particular product, the Survival Steel Fire Starter, you will notice that the actual striker itself is on a little lanyard, but the length of that lanyard is actually very, very short. And you'll notice that with many other products out there on the market, that this lanyard is just very short. And it makes it very frustrating when it comes to trying to start these fires, because the length that you have available is very limited. What I always do is when I encounter one of these products and I've either purchased it or come about it through a donation or one of our sponsors, is I actually add some paracord, which is longer in length and allows me the ability to get a nice proper strike when it comes to that fire starter. And I definitely feel that that particular hack to this product or any product of a similar nature will definitely help further when it comes to starting a fire successfully.
Yeah, another interesting trick that a young lady showed me when I was at the Headwaters gathering is if your material is wet or you don't think you have enough tinder, if you gently rub the striker against the rod, nice and gently, without causing a spark, what you're going to do is you're actually going to shave it, very gently shave whatever that material is onto, and it's going to powder off. So then when you strike it, you're going to get a much big, more vibrant, passionate fire just whoosh, it's going to come up. Material itself, and when it's ground up, is very flammable. And it was an interesting trick. She showed me basically with some wet paper. She's like, try, your ferrocium rod won't strike paper, just like a flat, A4 or whatever. But it if you scrape this stuff onto it and scrape and scrape and scrape and scrape for like, a couple, 10, 15 seconds, and then you hit it with the striker, with a big strike, it will catch a nice size sheet of paper, which is just kind of a little interesting thing while on the starters.
Absolutely. So we definitely recommend that you check out the Survival Steel Fire Starter, and you can find that on our link that we provided there on Freedomizer Radio. And just be sure to check out the link there, and you can see the product in all its glory and learn more to see if it fits your needs. Now, Wolf and I have to go away for a little commercial break, but when we get back, we'll be joined by our special guest, Leslie Blackmore from Turtle Feather True Nature. This is AD Venture and the Wolfman, and we'll see you on the other side.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers. Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. Up you into the globalist domain and embellish in Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Thanks for joining us here on the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show. This is AD Venture, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Wolfman, and we've got an extremely special guest here today with us on our radio show. We've got Leslie Blackmore from Turtle Feather True Nature.
Hi, baby. I will.
Thanks for joining us, Leslie. I do apologize for those technical issues.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
All right. Well, I want everyone here on Freedomizer Radio and listening worldwide to listen to Leslie Blackmore. She's got a great tale to tell us and a lot of information, which is really interesting, and I want to share it with everyone here. So, Leslie, why don't you start off by telling us who you are exactly and what do you do?
Okay, well, I'm the founder and executive director of Turtle Feather True Nature. And what that is a federal nonprofit. And what we do is we endeavor to introduce women who have experienced abuse into the healing powers of nature. And how I got into that, funny enough, was that I'm actually a survivor myself. And I spent the better part of 6 years paralyzed by fear and self-loathing, self-medication, until I finally got to that point where I knew I had to stick my head out to move forward with all the strength and the hope and the courage that I had. But I was able to do that, you know. And after the dust settled, so to speak, I went back to my first love, and that was the wilderness. And I found healing and strength there and a way to believe in myself. And having found that, it's my way of paying it forward, you know, and it helped me that much. I know it can help some other women, and that's basically where I'm coming from.
Wow. That's a pretty magical space to come and to show people the way how wilderness can be healing. So how did you get started in that field?
Well, you know, we as a family growing up, I spent all of my spare time outside. We started out in New Brunswick. We moved out to Alberta and BC. And basically, my playground was Fundy National Park and the Rocky Mountains. So I had a lot of fun out there, had a lot of experiences. And when I came back here, you know, I did a lot of backpacking, canoeing, snowshoeing, all that sort of stuff. And from there, I took the Humber College Outdoor Education Program. And through that, I met some really inspiring instructors. And one of them actually was David Arama from WSC Survival School. And he's been a tremendous supporter and fantastic instructor who encouraged me to move forward with this and, you know, take what I've learned growing up and just add that to the courses, you know, that I took and share that with other people.
That's really incredible. Now, I hear so many good things about some of the outdoor rec courses. Myself, I took one in Niagara College. I took the Recreation and Leisure course, and it was, it helps change your life, you know. So
it
what
really
kind of experience
does.
Did you...
I've had some great times out in the wilderness, you know, since then. I mean, I've gone from having my food bag ravaged by, you know, a rampaging raccoon while I was winter camping 2 years ago to being confronted by a homicidal-minded deer. You know, people think that deers are pretty mild-mannered, but let me tell you, sometimes they can have a bit of an attitude. And,
I was just laughing because you're absolutely right.
It's so true. But, you know, it's these encounters, and actually my last year, I had my very first black bear encounter, and you find that a lot of people are scared of them. But you know what? I came around a corner. I was 40 feet away from this 300-pound black bear, and it just basically kind of looked at me and sauntered away. Now, I was pretty lucky in that respect, but at the same time, it sort of empowered me knowing that, you know what? I don't have to be that scared to be out in nature. It's a lot of fun and can have a lot of good experiences.
So what... So your formal education, you said, in the field is through Humber College. Have you taken a bunch of other, like, you know, side courses and stuff like that to give you more education and experience in the field?
Oh, yeah. I've taken the ORCA courses, so I'm ORCA certified, and I've also I'm a Hike Ontario hike leader. I was actually chair of their certification committee for a few months there to see what they were all about. So as far as those the side accreditations are there as well, yeah, for sure. And one of the things that actually I'm working on right now that I will be finishing at the end of the summer is the Wilderness Emergency Medical Technician. So I'm really excited about that because in conjunction with WSC Survival School, we'll be offering the Wilderness First Aid CPR and Crisis Management course, which is really great for people that are thinking about getting into the field.
That's absolutely incredible. That's just amazing to hear all these different plans that you have. Now, let's share with our audience, because I'm so inspired from what you've told me and what you've revealed about Turtle Feather True Nature that I just was compelled to share it with our audience, and that's why I wanted to have you here on our show today on the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show. So why don't you tell us a little more about exactly what Turtle Feather True Nature does and how it actually empowers other people with their lives.
Well, the True Nature program, it's basically a three-month process, and the point of it is really to create a habit, especially for people that either haven't been in nature or have gotten away from it for quite some time. And so we start off with easy hiking, sometimes with urban trails and whatnot, and it's just getting out of the everyday 9 to 5, getting up, going to work, getting rid of the daily stressors that you deal with, and just getting used to being out on your own. And from there, we sort of graduate into more day hiking, which is outside of the city. And through all of this, you know, we want to go over safety and what to take with you and different things that you can pay attention to while you're out on the trail. So even though some of the experiences that women who have experienced abuse are pretty horrific, we can take some of that and turn it into something more positive. And what I mean by that is sometimes we've gotten so used to being hyper alert and on guard for any eventuality that may come through the front door, we can take that same attention to detail out into the wilderness with us and in a positive way take a look at the trees, the sand, the animals, the different interactions that you can have. I mean, we were out with a group of people today at Niagara College at Wood End, and it was just so amazing to see not only the children but the adults getting down and chasing frogs and picking up snakes and, you know, just really playing in nature again. And that's the sort of thing that I want to encourage. So from the day hikes, from there, then I want to go into the overnight excursions. And that's where the real healing and the strength comes from. Excuse me, because on a lot of those, we're going to also have a night that's a solo night. It's all going to be, you know, within a distance, and they'll be checked on regularly. But at the same time, there's nothing like having that night out in nature on your own that really brings back that belief in yourself again.
Absolutely. Now, you had mentioned that you're a nonprofit organization, and I've put our in the chat here on Freedom Miser Radio, the website address for Turtle Feather. But for all those who don't have access to the chat here, the address is www.turtlefeather.ca. And why don't you tell a little more to our audience what they can do to donate to the cause and to help you service all these different women who have gone through these experiences to help empower them?
Oh, well, that's, you know, any kind of help for a nonprofit, as you know, is greatly appreciated. We take cash donations through PayPal, through the website. And if you have any gently used outdoor equipment, whether that be sleeping bags, backpacks, stoves, anything like that, they're more than welcome to donate that to the cause. Anything and everything is greatly appreciated.
That's wonderful. So you can check that out on www.turtlefeather.ca. Now, Leslie, I do have to ask you, what are your thoughts on the importance of the outdoors, especially to women?
Well, obviously, I have a strong connection to the outdoors and to bringing that to women in general. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of what we call nature deficit disorder. I know you're very familiar with this term as well. And it's that disconnection between, you know, modern life and women and the outdoors. I mean, for women in particular, for some, they're so used to, you know, taking care of the family, either they're working, taking care of the kids, that they're really lacking that time for themselves. And what I think is really important is for them to know that nature is there to fill up that bucket again. You know, when you're just feeling completely drained, you can go out for a day and just feel fulfilled again and have that extra energy to go back and do it again the next day. So you don't really need to go out for 2 weeks at a time in order to get that same energy back again. You can take that out with a day or even 3 days if you're able to get that 3 days.
That's absolutely wonderful. Now, Leslie, I really would love to know, just because to dispel a few myths to our audience that might be listening here on Freedomizer Radio, unlike what maybe you see on the television, most real men are actually quite enamored to see a woman enjoying the wilderness and not saying, oh, this is all icky and gross and dirty and stuff. We, you know, men love to see the fact that women want to enjoy this as well. And it is something that, men have some sort of difficulty with in trying to encourage women to join them. But we do have to consider the fact that perhaps, you know, there's that comfort zone that has to be breached before that can be attained. And what I want to ask you is, what do you think is needed to get more women, both young and old, into the wilderness to start enjoying this and to feel relaxed and to understand that really it is something for them to enjoy that is just as much theirs as it is ours, for men, and that it's just something there for them to really cherish?
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. It's a very good question. I think, for the most part, I think information is key. And with you and Wolf and your radio show, which, by the way, is fantastic, I just getting that information out there that there are programs available that are, you know, for women only, and that sometimes that's a comfort level for them to say, you know what, I don't want to go out with a bunch of guys that are going to, you know, intimidate me, or they think they're going to be intimidated. It's not necessarily the case. But there is programs out there that women can go out with other women. Because sometimes they tend to learn a little bit differently. Women like to really take part in the making process of outdoor activities. And they feel a little bit safer, perhaps learning how to make fire without matches and all that fun stuff. And just let them know that there are programs available that and role models, you know, having more role models out there. I think you had a lady on a few weeks ago, Amanda Mayhew, I think her name was, who was into the hunting and fishing and the outdoors and whatnot, and she's a fantastic spokesperson.
Yes, and we not too long after that, we had my good friend Rhonda Ursulak, and she runs in the Milton area a program called Chicks with Sticks, or Chicks in the Sticks, I believe it's the proper name, and it's the same. It's designed for women to get outdoors, get dirty, get barefoot, get, you know, learn all of the without, you know, in a safe environment, again, where they're not feeling threatened or intimidated by, you know, even their male partners or anything like that. It's a pretty wonderful opportunity. And, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm a friend to have her run those programs. And I think there needs to be more of these, like, women-only activities or anything just to encourage, as Dave was saying, to take the ick factor out of the wilderness, you know, to get people out and to get people enjoying it. I don't think it should be a case of, you know, man or woman. It's just people in general because everybody benefits.
Exactly.
But, so what other activities?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that's it, is just getting the word out there and having more people talk about it. And getting the information, getting the programs out there, and being excited about it, you know? I mean, I just love being out in nature. It's every time I go out, it's something different, you know? And it's it can be really exciting, and you can come back with some life-changing events.
For sure. And nature is always rolling, right? It's like it's cycle. It's always every time, you know, I took a plant course once, and they said that, you know, you need to know your plant. So you go out in early spring where you know this plant is going to be, say it's, I don't know, woad or it's garlic mustard, and you watch it from being little and you watch it get bigger. And then it's a case of, wow, look, it's grown. And now it's going to turn into a seed and, or, you know, it's going to seed out. And it's just the whole thing about you know, like the cycle of life is something that we can always learn. Nature is different every time you move around, and that's beautiful. So what other stuff do you do? Like, you'd go to conventions and shows or you know, work with other people on outdoor stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did the outdoor show this year, and there was the Ultimate Woman Show in Hamilton we did in the spring. And there's actually the National Woman Show that's coming up in the fall that we're planning on attending. And to let people know that we're available, we're out there. And the other funding arm, I should say, of the True Nature program is the Turtle Feather Wilderness Adventures. And that's basically for any woman that wants to get out into the outdoors. And the proceeds from any of those outings go to the True Nature program. So on top of, you know, applying for grants and working with other nonprofits, we have this other arm that we can try to get some funding for the program. And for that, we can go anywhere from paddling down the French River and experiencing the old Voyager Channel, which is just like taking a step back in time. It's absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. To even going and jumping on a train and, you know, flagging down the train, jumping on it, and looking at the beautiful fall colors of Agawa Canyon. So it goes from experiences with canoeing to backpacking to jumping on a train.
You really got me feeling that I want to get out there. There's just so many great things out in the nature and in Ontario in general. And, yeah, I definitely understand that where you're coming from there. Now, Leslie, why don't you tell us what you've got planned for the future for Turtle Feather?
Well, eventually down the road, you know, we want to be running these programs on a regular basis. We have retreats that are coming up where women can get away to a off-the-grid cabin up in the Bancroft Cargus area for a long weekend, and eventually doing some week-long retreats as well, you know, once winter comes in, we'll be doing more of the snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, winter camping, all of that sort of activities.
Oh, that's incredible. So, it just sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have to, you know, we have big plans, big hopes for the True Nature program. You know, the five-year plan is hopefully we'll be able to get a place where we can have women come up for a good 6 to 8 weeks at a time and have a sort of a camp for adults, sort of jumpstart their life and get them going on the right track again.
That's great. So, again, I want to remind all our listeners here on Freedomizer Radio and throughout the entire Internet to be sure to go and check out Turtle Feather and all the great offerings that Leslie here is providing. And you can check that out on www.turtlefeather.ca. And remember, if you want to help out, just donate to Turtle Feather True Nature. But if you want to experience a little more and you want to also help out to the cause, be sure to check out Turtle Feather Wilderness Adventures. And again, that's all available on www.turtlefeather.ca.
Well, thanks, AD. I really appreciate your support. One other thing actually I did forget to mention was that we do have a meetup group that we've started up recently. So anybody that's interested could go up to meetup and check out the Turtle Feather Woman in Nature.
This is the meetup website called meetup.com?
That's right.
All right, so that's what our listeners got to do. They've got to go to meetup.com and they've got to look up Turtle Feather. And be sure to join up and experience a little more what it's all about.
Thanks, AD. Thanks, Wolf.
Well, again, we've reached that time of the day where we are at the end of our show. We want to thank everybody for listening here on Freedomizer Radio. We also want to especially thank our extremely special guest here today, Leslie Blackmore of Turtle Feather True Nature. This is AD Venture, joined by the Wolfman, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.